You're listening to the Plain Bible Teaching Podcast.
Thank you for tuning in to the newest episode of the Plain Bible Teaching Podcast. I'm your host, Andy Soaker. On this podcast, we're discussing current events from a biblical perspective. And this episode is being released on August 26th, 2021. And this is the last episode for the month of August, so we're going to be doing our monthly news roundup. Rather than just focusing on one story or topic, we're going to be briefly talking about a few different stories that were from the news this month. This week, we're talking about a web designer being forced to make a website for a same-sex wedding, the percentage of Americans who consume alcohol, and a woman who made a complete handwritten copy of the Bible. For links to the stories we'll be talking about, as well as related materials, you can check out the show notes for this episode at plainbibleteaching.com/podcast/082621. So now for our stories this week. First story, designer who won't make same-sex wedding websites loses case, from the Associated Press. A U.S. appeals court has ruled against a web designer who didn't want to create a wedding website for same-sex couples and sued to challenge Colorado's anti-discrimination law, another twist in a series of court rulings nationwide about whether businesses denying services to LGBTQ people amounts to bias or freedom of speech. A three-judge panel of the 10th U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals in Denver on Monday denied Lori Smith's attempts to overturn a lower court ruling, throwing out her legal challenge. The Alliance Defending Freedom, which represents Smith, argued that the law forced her to violate her Christian beliefs. In the 2-1 ruling, the panel said Colorado had a compelling interest in protecting the dignity interests, that's in quotes in the article, the dignity interests of members of marginalized groups through its law. Now, we've seen stories like this regarding those who make wedding cakes and things like that. However, this story caught my eye since I have built websites before for myself and for other people at different times. And this ruling is not surprising, but it is disappointing. Now, we may wonder why lawsuits like this happen. Why force someone to bake a cake or design a website when they cannot do that in good conscience? Why force them to do that when there are other bakers or other web designers out there who can provide the same service? Why couldn't the ones who are trying to get their same-sex wedding website made or their cake for their same-sex wedding, why couldn't they just go somewhere else? There are plenty of people who can build websites out there looking for work. And there are other people who can bake cakes, going back to the story that we most commonly hear, those who are trying to get a cake made for their same-sex wedding and the Christian bakers don't want to make it, and so they take them to court. Why couldn't they just go somewhere else? Why are they going after the ones who say they can't in good conscience do this? I recently read a book that was recommended to me by a friend that's called The Rise and Triumph of the Modern Self. It's written by Carl R. Truman. This book is not necessarily an easy read, but it does an excellent job in explaining how our society has gotten to its current state, including why a baker or a designer could be forced to do work that they don't want to do. A key point to notice in that story that we read a part of that story from the Associated Press, key word to notice, and this is what jumped out at me, was the word dignity. The court ruled against the web designer because they wanted to protect the, quote, dignity rights of members of marginalized groups through the law. After reading that book that I just mentioned, The Rise and Triumph of the Modern Self, I remembered some of the passages, and I had gone through and underlined several things as I read through the book, because it's an important book. If you haven't read the book, I would recommend that book, because it goes into all of the reasons why our society is the way that it is, especially when it comes to homosexuality and transgenderism and how all of this has become mainstream. But notice a couple quotes from that book. Under the question of dignity, the author said, one of the underlying themes of this book is that psychological man and expressive individualism shape the dominant understanding of what it means to be a human self in the present age. For the individual to be king, society must recognize the supreme value of the individual. Central to this thinking is the shift from a society based on the notion of honor to that based on the notion of dignity. Later in that same chapter, the author says, the person who objects to homosexual practice is, in contemporary society, actually objecting to the homosexual identity and the refusal by any individual to recognize an identity that society at large recognizes as legitimate is a moral offense, not simply a matter of indifference. The question of identity in the modern world is a question of dignity. So rather than we had in that first quote, he talked about the notion of honor, that society is based upon that we do what we ought to do. We are people of character, that we are recognized for that. And now it's the notion of dignity, that everyone who is able to define their person and define who they are as they see fit, they want to do whatever they choose to do, regardless of what is moral, what is traditional, or anything like that. They want to shape based upon how they feel. That's who they are. And so this notion of dignity, that any disapproval of what they believe about themselves, they believe homosexuality is right. They believe they are a woman even though they have been born a man. Any question about that is an attack on their dignity. And so that's where these lawsuits are coming from. And there's a lot more we can talk about regarding the state of our society and how it's been shaped in this way. In fact, I've thought about spending some time here on the podcast in the future talking about different things that are discussed in that book, because it is such an important work as far as what that author put together in explaining how our society got into the condition that it's in. If you're interested in checking out that book for yourself, there's a link in the show notes. Again, it's called The Rise and Triumph of the Modern Self by Carl R. Truman. I highly recommend the book. Again, it's not an easy read, but it is an important read. And we've talked about the issue of homosexuality and same-sex marriage on the podcast and the articles that are on the website as well. So I'll just refer right now you to links that are in the show notes for more on this topic. But I want us to recognize that this issue is not going away, because this is an issue of dignity. This is seen as an issue of dignity, that if we will not affirm the choices and the feelings of others, even if we recognize them as being wrong, we are attacking the dignity of that person. More and more, our society is going to pressure people to accept what they believe is wrong. They are going to be forced to do what violates their conscience, which, in a sense, is a form of slavery. If an anti-God culture cannot get you to abandon your faith in God, they will attempt to enslave you to do what they want you to do. That's what these lawsuits are all about. An anti-God culture forcing people to do what they do not want to do when their convictions are based upon how they understand the scriptures and on their faith in God. This is where all of this is from, and this is not going to go away. Again, links to the different things that we've talked about, that book, and also some articles that are on the website about homosexuality and same-sex marriage. You can check those out in the show notes. Second story we're going to be talking about today is this. From Newsmax, Gallup reports fewer people are consuming alcohol. The article says that 60% of adults in the U.S. drink alcoholic beverages, down from 65% in 2019, a new Gallup poll reveals. And I'll be honest with you here, the percentage there was lower than I expected, which is good. But in all honesty, I believe that it was going to, or I expected it to be higher. But one of the interesting findings that were reported in that article was the breakdown by age group. It said that 60% of those between 18 and 34 said they drink alcoholic beverages. 70% of those between 35 and 54 said they consume alcohol. Then 52% of those over 55 say they have alcoholic beverages. I was a little surprised at how much this increased as people reached, you know, so-called middle age. And then after that, how sharp of a decline there was after age 55. And maybe it's because I'm in that middle age group of 35 to 54. That may be why the overall numbers seemed low to me. The percentage is higher among those who are my age or close to my age. So maybe that's why it seemed to me like the number should be higher. But regardless of that, while it may be interesting to note the differences among age groups, we might wonder, why is it that, you know, it jumps up so much during when someone is middle-aged and then drops down even lower than when they were young adults, when they get past that, when they pass 55. It might be interesting to notice that and wonder why, or go into research as far as why that is. But one point I want us to remember is this. What the Bible teaches, whether it's about alcohol or anything else, what the Bible teaches is the same for every age group. Notice real quickly four points regarding alcohol that we need to remember as Christians, and these are taken from an article that I wrote that's on the website, The Evils of Alcohol, and that'll be linked in the show notes. But four points to remember. Number one, we are called to be sober-minded. 1 Peter 1:13, therefore prepare your minds for action, keep sober in spirit. The call for soberness prohibits alcohol and anything else that would affect our thinking, whether it's drugs or anything like that. The admonition to keep sober in spirit is not to be taken lightly. And that's because of the spiritual threat that is posed by the devil, who's described in 1 Peter 5:8 as a lion who prowls around seeking someone to devour. Peter said in 1 Peter 5:8, be of sober spirit. Be on the alert. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour. The second reason is that we are to be filled with the Spirit. Ephesians 5:18 says, do not get drunk with wine, for that is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit. Paul, in that verse, contrasted being filled with the Spirit with being drunk. Those were the two extremes. Yet this did not mean that, well, we have permission to use alcohol casually or recreationally as long as we don't get drunk. That's what a lot of people think. But if we are to be filled with the Spirit, that can't happen if we're partially filled with alcohol. That's the contrast. Be filled with the Spirit, not be drunk with wine. But it's okay to be somewhere in the middle. No, that's not Paul's point there. If we are to be filled with the Spirit, that means we need to avoid alcohol. Third point to remember is that we are to leave our old lives of sin. 1 Peter 4:3 says, for the time already past is sufficient for you to have carried out the desire of the Gentiles, having pursued a course of sensuality, lust, drunkenness, carousings, drinking parties, and abominable idolatries. Regarding alcohol, leaving our old lives of sin involves more than just avoiding drunkenness. The old life of sin also includes, as he says there, carousing and drinking parties, or wild parties and social drinking, as we sometimes refer to it as. Casual drinking that does not result in drunkenness. Peter said that you are to leave those things behind. And the fourth point, we are not to be mastered by anything. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 6:12, all things are lawful for me, but not all things are profitable. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be mastered by anything. Now, we should note in that passage that Paul was discussing things that were lawful in themselves. Yet he said that even if something was lawful, which means it was permissible, it became wrong when he allowed himself to be mastered by it. And as we can see in the scriptures, the casual use of alcohol does not fit in the category of things that are lawful, at least by God's law. Man's law, sure, but not by God's law. But not only that, the addictive nature of alcohol should cause us to avoid it. So if we're trying to follow the Lord, then alcohol is something that we want to avoid. And encouragingly enough, it seems like 40% of people are avoiding alcohol. So maybe that can be a place where we can start to build some common ground with some people. But for more on this topic of alcohol, there are some links in the show notes to check out about social drinking and different arguments that are made for that and just alcohol in general. But then the last story we're going to be talking about. 9 years, 782,000 words later, South Carolina woman completes handwritten Bible. From Christianity Today, starting in January 2012 and finishing in June 2021, Caroline, who is now 28, copied the entire Bible by hand. She started in Genesis and worked her way through Revelation, writing down all 782,815 words from her 1973 New American Standard Bible. Caroline's mother, Jennifer, estimates the completed manuscript is more than 10,000 pages. It is compiled in 43 binders. And when it comes to learning what the Word of God teaches, we often think of reading the Bible, studying it, listening to preachers and Bible class teachers discuss it. Yet there's another way we can work to embed the Word of God into our memories. And that's by writing it down. In fact, this was one of the things that God said was to be done by the rulers of his people. Deuteronomy 17, 18, and 19 says that now it shall come about when he sits on the throne of his kingdom, he shall write for himself a copy of this law on a scroll in the presence of the Levitical priests. It shall be with him, and he shall read it all the days of his life, that he may learn to fear the Lord his God by carefully observing all the words of this law and these statutes. I remember hearing this suggested a few years ago by Brian Dawkins, who preaches in Las Vegas. He was going through and transcribing the scriptures. I don't know how far he got in that effort when he was doing that. But the woman in this story, she was able to complete this. And while the Lord does not require us to write down our own copy of the Bible, it is one way that we can work to commit his word to memory. So if you're looking for a way to help improve your knowledge of the scriptures, this might be something to try. Get some notebooks, get good pen, and start copying down the scriptures and help commit it to your mind, to your memory in that way. That's included as one of the ways to develop an understanding of the scriptures. In the article that I have linked in the show notes called Practical Ways for Developing a Better Understanding of God's Word, writing it down is one of the things that's mentioned. You can check out that article in the show notes. But that's all for this week. Thank you for listening to the Plain Bible Teaching Podcast. I hope you found it to be interesting and informative and helpful. For links to the stories that we've talked about and the other links that were mentioned, you can visit the show notes for this episode, plainbibleteaching.com/podcast/082621. The Plain Bible Teaching Podcast is also available on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Stitcher, and Spotify. If you use those platforms, you can subscribe to the podcast there, and if you're inclined to do so, you can rate it there as well. If you know of others who would be interested in hearing this episode or would be interested in the podcast as a whole, you can share that with them. I would appreciate that. Also, if you see a news story that you think might make for a good discussion, please email that link to me. You can send it to andy@plainbibleteaching.com. Thanks again for listening. I hope to talk to you again next week.
Thank you for listening to the Plain Bible Teaching Podcast. If you have any questions or comments, please visit plainbibleteaching.com. While you're there, be sure to sign up for the Plain Bible Teaching weekly newsletter.